Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Maroon Friday edition of the Yard. What a Maroon Friday it is. A lot going on, obviously. Got several official visitors taking in a ball game this weekend. We got a couple soccer games to cover today. I'll wrap up the show. We'll head up there and we'll cover Notre Dame versus Kentucky. And then we'll see Mississippi State and Washington play. The winners of those two games will play on Sunday. Now, there are still some tickets available, but they are extremely limited in quantity. So if you're planning to come up today, I would encourage you to buy your tickets online through the Hell State website. $10 for adults, $5 for children. And then we get Missouri tomorrow, Senior Day. And again, tonight, Mississippi State men's basketball. We're going to talk about all that stuff today, give you my final thoughts on the Missouri game. But also, too, we'll pick the weekend. I'd say a couple things, too. I haven't had a classic Robertson rant in a while. And so I guess before I get there, I need to go float. That's what I need to do because I'm getting a little bit cantankerous. But, if you've forgotten, we're doing buy one, get one free floats right now. You can get a gift card now. Be a great Christmas gift for somebody you know and love. And so dial 662-268-7601. Dannon gets taken care of, or you can stop by the spa and get BOGO, right? I mean, you're thinking, I want to try it, but I want to do it with a friend. I get it. And so we're doing buy one, get one free, the early Black Friday special at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. But, I watch a lot of reels. You know what I mean? Like, I don't watch a ton of TV. And when I do, I watch Big Bang Theory reruns with the wife, because we do love that show. We do. It's clever. It's cute. It's a laugh a second. But also, too, like I watch a lot of reels when I'm not watching documentaries. Because when I sit down and watch stuff, I typically want to learn something. There are other times I just want to be entertained. I'm an Outer Banks fan. I don't know if you guys are. I love the show. I know it's a bit young for me, but I do love the show. And so I'm eager for the next season so we can find out, what's going on, with the Blue Crown. But, so occasionally I watch those. I watch The Lincoln Lawyer, that kind of stuff. But primarily I watch a lot of music and historical documentaries. But when I'm not watching that stuff, I'm watching my phone. You know, nowadays you can get on Twitter, you can get on Instagram, you can get on Reels, on Facebook, and you can watch some amazing content. A lot of it's really silly. And sometimes we need some silly in our lives, right? Life is so serious, right? I mean, what's life without a little whimsy? And so I like watching those reels. And there's a couple things, man, that I want to address today. And it may not change anything, but I need to say it to make myself feel better. Guys, can we please, 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 please stop telling people how uncomfortable we are? Does that make sense? Life is about being uncomfortable. Does that make sense with you? It's like, I know you guys are journalists and you're out here, filming content for a story or whatever. And listen, there's some of those guys that are auditors, that are agitators, and they just do it to get a rise out of people and put it online. You have no expectation of privacy in public, period. Everywhere we go, for commerce, for entertainment, we're being videoed without our consent. And there used to be these little signs up that says, hey, by entering this establishment, you consent to being videoed, right? You're being recorded everywhere you go. You go to the post office, you're being recorded. You go downtown, go by the tax assessor's office, you're going to be recorded. It's the world in which we live in. And if you're uncomfortable with that, then just stay home and do all your business online. But I see these people out here that just get absolutely outraged It's like, hey, I don't want to be videoed. Well, then stay home. I don't want to be photographed. Well, stay home. Because you're going to be. And it's like, there's so many people out there, too, that are so scared for you to tell them the truth, right? And I live in truth, right? And sometimes I lie to myself, and I have to kind of work my way through that, right? But the reality of it is, you know, I work a program of rigorous honesty. And so I try to be honest with people, and honesty is so incredibly offensive to some people. There are a lot of people out there, they want me and you to just be part of, you know, the charade. What I mean by that is, like, you know, I got some friends of mine that, man, they're so fake. You know, and it's like you have to kind of keep them at arm's length. And so if you tell them the truth, it's like, dude, you're being fake about this. No, I'm not. Then you don't hear from them for a week, right? Or longer. Because people don't want to be told the truth about their own deficiencies. And that's what friends do. We hold each other accountable. You know, I could opine about this for the whole show. I'm not going to. But, you know, it's so interesting. I won't give you all the details, but I had an encounter a couple of years ago with a friend of a friend. And the friend of mine is, you know, someone very close to me. You know, this other person had these opinions on how my friend should live their life, and they were all very irresponsible. And so I just finally kind of intervened. You know, as the longtime friend, the longtime associate, a person that has that person's best interest at heart, and had my discussions with this new friend and said, hey, you know, I just want to let you know as nicely as I can that you're full of it. And here's why. Well, you're making me uncomfortable. Good. Because what you're doing is negative. What you're doing is destructive. What you're doing puts our, quote, mutual friend in harm's way. So, yes, I'm going to tell you the truth because they don't have the ability to do so. Which kind of frustrates me a little bit, too. You got to tell people exactly what you want. You train people how to treat you. True story. If people disrespect you and you let it go, they will continue to disrespect you. I'm not that person. Yeah, there's some people out there that always have something negative to say. You got to pick your battles, right? And sometimes people say things, you know, about me that are just so inconsequential to me. I don't even care. Why would I validate that with a response? But when somebody out there is, you know, doing something that is detrimental, you got to take action. And it's so interesting too. That a lot of people, of course, you know, they say the pithiest comments they have, they say outside of our presence. And you should take that as a compliment because it just proves that they can't act up in our faces. But the reality of all this is that there's just so much stuff out there, and it's reinforcing this. Guys, life is tough. Life is hard. It's even harder when you're soft. And there's so much of that. Well, I'm scared to tell somebody the truth because I don't like confrontation. You know, you better learn to get comfortable with that. I'm just uncomfortable speaking my truth, right? And there's only one truth. That's the reality of it. You may share your opinion. Truth's not a relative thing. How you perceive things may be. But what happens is what happens. And people are out here, well, it just makes me uncomfortable that you speak to me like this. Well, you don't want me to be honest with you? You don't want me to be direct with you? Or you just want me to sit here and tell you how great you are and everything is just so damn lovely? And when you're on the road to destruction, you need somebody to give you a reality check. That's me, that's you, that's our friends, it's everybody. And so get comfortable being uncomfortable. It's also incredibly juvenile to me, but that's just my opinion. That's my opinion. Maybe you feel differently, and that's okay. I love you just the same. But I'm a firm believer in being honest. That's not to say that I haven't been devious and dishonest at times in my life. It's true. I am a human being. I don't excuse it. It's beneath my character, but there have been things that I've done in my past that I'm not proud of, and behaviors as I've exhibited that I'm not proud of. And more times than not, I've had a friend that said, dude, this is not who you are. So I'm going to ask you, you know, to check yourself. You know, that's what good friends do. Good friends are not co-conspirators at our demise. That's true. And you know it's true. You know, and sometimes we surround ourselves with people that will excuse our negative behavior. Because we don't want to be held accountable. True story. Human nature. All right, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors to the show. Man, I love Bulldog Burger Company, and I love the whole family of the Eat With Us group. I do, and I eat at those restaurants frequently. But something always keeps me kind of coming back to Bulldog Burger Company. I never get tired of it, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you sometimes you eat the same place over and over, and you kind of get burnout. I don't really get burnout when Bulldog Burger Company is an option for me. I love eating there. And I get it to go a lot, you know, so I can go eat with Dana at the spa, but I love being able to go put my feet under their table and just let them take care of everything, right? I mean, that's the best part of going out sometimes. Not the fact that you don't have to cook and clean up, but just to have somebody kind of take care of everything. You can just kind of sit and enjoy a conversation with somebody that you love, or perhaps, you know, it's a business type deal, and then they'll just keep bringing you great food. Yeah, and they'll come wipe the table for you, refill the drink. Yeah, that's one thing I miss so much in COVID is just being able to go out and let somebody else just kind of take care of everything. And there's a reason you do it, man. It's just so much more convenient. And sometimes they're just items you can get on the road that you can't get at home. You remember when we were kids, we'd say, Mom, let's go get this. Let's get Bulldog Burger Company. Mom would say, we got food at home. Well, it's not the same, Mom. I love you to death, but you're not making a hamburger near the quality of Bulldog Burger Company. All due respect, Mom. I want that pimentology ad bacon. That's what I want. Can you make that? Well, we got pimento and cheese in the refrigerator. Mom, it's not the same. It's not the same. Maybe we just didn't have the courage to say it. Enjoy a day out or a night out at Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive here in Stark, Vegas. Gloucester Street there in Tupelo. Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. If you're not feeling like a burger, maybe everybody else is. Get that BLT salad. I prefer it grilled. You may like it fried. I'm not judging. And get those spring rolls. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, let's talk about the weekend here. And we'll pick our weekend. And guys, there are some dog games. And there are some good games on the horizon. I like a good college football game. Especially when we're not playing, right? I mean, of course, you love it when we win a big game. I'm happy to win one these days. And that's not being disrespectful. I mean, it's just, you know, I was happy to beat UMass, kind of end the streak there. But I'm just not a big fan of the FCS game in November. You know what I mean? It's just, it's hard to get up for that. Like, in the beginning of the season, it's been so long since we had college football. You know, we'll watch anybody play. Right, it could be North Carolina A&T and like Sorrento State. We're like, oh man, I've missed football so much. Let's watch the football game. Right, you don't even care. But when we get to this time of year, it's hard to get all jacked up to go, you know, watch, you know, a college football game against an FCS team when there's so many great conference games on television, right? And there's so many people out there. I was on the Power Mizzou show yesterday. Gabe DeArmond, and those guys have now joined 247 Sports, the flagship, the starship. Yeah, the Starship Enterprise. Very, very happy to have the most dominant Missouri side in the country now helping us kind of pull this thing forward. But, you know, we talked about this, you know, the 8 or 9 game schedule deal. And I've talked about it on the show before. I'm an 8 game guy because there's not enough good reasons for us to go to 9. And that's the argument that some people make is, well, it would get rid of these games that we don't really like to see. But those aren't the games that are going to go away. It's the Power 5 mandate that goes away. And I think the biggest argument against the 9-game conference schedule is the fact that, hey, if we play the Power 5 mandate, right, if everybody goes out, you know, like we played Arizona State. So we have 16 teams in the Southeastern Conference. If we play each other, the best record we can hope for is 8-8. But if we go out and play the Power 5 mandate game, we could potentially go 16-0. And so we may not take 8 losses as a conference. And when you think about the FBS playoff, we could be knocking ourselves out of contention as a league. And the more teams that we have in a playoff, the more money it is for the rest of the teams in the conference. And so there's just not a good, there's not a good, enough good reasoning for this. You're like, but Steve, I don't want to see State play, you know, East Tennessee State. Well, I mean, I'm going to go watch Mississippi State play regardless. Not just because it's a job, because it's my passion. But when you look at the bigger picture, instead of it being about one Saturday, it's about the totality of the football program of Mississippi State and the Southeastern Conference. It's just not in our best interest to go to non-conference games because ESPN's not going to give us enough money to make it worth our while. So you got to think about those things. So let's kind of look at we get a great game, I think, right out of the gate. The 11 a.m. game, Ole Miss is at Florida. Of course, Ole Miss right now firmly in the playoff, top 12. And they're going to go play at Florida. And we talked about that all year long. It's like, you know, that could be a dicey proposition. You never know where Florida's going to be. And Florida is in a better position today than I think many of us anticipated they would be in. I think that is a fair assessment, and I think we would all agree with that. I think many of us, mainly me, really thought they would be in really bad shape and probably not even be in contention for a bowl game at this point in the season. But here they are, 5-5. Scott Strickland's already issued a statement that Napier will be back next year. They have two games left. Got to win one of these last two. And you look at that game next week at Florida State, and Florida State is in an absolute tailspin. You feel like that's probably a dub. But it's senior day in the swamp. And you look at how, you know, Florida has played at times here down the stretch, and it's just kind of been heckle and Jekyll, right? One could make the argument they could have and probably should have won in Knoxville against Tennessee. Well, they did, and they ended up losing by six. They bounce back the next week and just destroy Kentucky. Then the Jacksonville game against Georgia, and Florida was doing great early, and then Georgia came on late, wins the game 34-20. Then you got to go to Texas. We've been there. It's tough. And Texas, again, kind of as great as their season is, I don't know that they're getting enough respect. Last week, I thought LSU would go to Florida and win. They didn't. Is Ole Miss a better team than LSU? I would say yes, even though LSU beat them head-to-head down in Tiger Stadium. And let's be honest about it, it took some dramatic play for LSU to win that ballgame. And they did. And so Ole Miss really kind of controlling their own destiny here. Last road game of the year for them. I'm just a little bit worried about the spread here. Right? I mean, so it's the spread for Ole Miss is now 12.5. I'm going to take Ole Miss to win, but Florida to cover. I think this proves to be a more competitive game than maybe some are anticipating. Is Ole Miss the better team? Absolutely. Had the better season. I do think Florida will be able to match up on the outside. And that's always the deal with Ole Miss, right? I mean, you got to be able, they're going to run the football. They're going to force you to kind of defend man-to-man on the outside. I think Florida has the ability to match up outside. And, you know, and Ole Miss hadn't had that big game since the Kentucky game, right, where they just didn't have a good Saturday. And, again, that's a testament to them and their coaches. So, but I like Ole Miss to win, but I'll take Florida to cover in this one. I think it's probably 10 points or less, and I may be completely wrong. Because sometimes when Ole Miss kind of gets it rolling, they will absolutely run you out of the stadium. All right, UMass is at Georgia. And, you know, UMass hosted Missouri earlier this year. They came to Mississippi State, now they're playing Georgia. So a lot of big paychecks coming their way. It's so interesting. And then they fired Don Brown. No real surprise there. UMass is not great. Their two wins this year are both over FCS teams. And they're about to make the move. You know, they'll be in a conference again. Things will be a little bit easier. But, yeah, Georgia's favored by 42. And I think Georgia covers. I think Georgia, especially after, you know, the strength of schedule thing is so interesting. You know, people are like, and again, this is kind of the argument against the nine-game schedule. Like, Georgia has the toughest strength of schedule in the country with 8 conference games. Now, it'll fluctuate a little bit after this UMass thing, but because UMass is not great, but it's not going to be enough to make a difference. So how can you sit here and say, well, you know, Georgia just doesn't play a tough schedule? The number one strength of schedule. And Greg Sankey tweeted that out himself, which to me kind of indicates how, you know, Sankey's leaning with this thing. But, yeah, 42 points. I think Georgia probably gets 42 points in the first half. I really do. I think Georgia really can't be stopped at home when they're playing well. All right, UTEP, the Miners are headed to Tennessee. Sure, the Miners could use Kelly Akari, who was recently invited to the Hula Bowl. The Miners 2-8, and eighth in Conference USA at Tennessee. The spread's 40.5, which scares me a little bit. You know, Vegas knows what they're doing, right? They're not going to just give money away. And you got to wonder, you know, this whole thing with Tennessee, you know, is Tennessee for real? You know, said beginning of the year, I thought Tennessee was a dark horse to get into the playoff. They don't have a lot of upward mobility left because of the fact they get UTEP and Vanderbilt, right? So you're not going to get, you're probably going to end the year 10-2. Probably the most, you know, probably the easiest path in the final two games of those SEC teams. And the loss at Georgia and the loss at Arkansas. So two, you know, road losses. The Arkansas loss is the one that kind of jumps up at you. But Tennessee could go 10-2 and not make the playoff, despite losing two conference road games. Yeah, pretty tough. Could be. That's how it could play out. And we'll see. But I think they roll this weekend. I'm actually going to take them and the points. I think Tennessee covers. I think Tennessee feels like they got a statement to make. Kentucky at Texas. I like this Texas team. We've had a chance to see them play up close and personal. Kentucky is 4-6 now. 4-6 and has to win out to achieve bowl eligibility. They're at Texas and then the home game against Louisville next week. You never know how those rivalry games are going to go. This Louisville team kind of fair to Midland too. They're 6-4. And so you look at Kentucky and you say, well, you know, what's the chances of them making a bowl game? I would say not good, because I got them losing this week. I think you guys do too. The spread is only 20 points. I actually think that's easy money. I think Texas is going to win and win big. And again, Texas, you know, is Texas back? You know, Texas' long loss was at home to this Georgia team. That's the thing you think about with Georgia, too. I mean, you look at what they've done in road games. You know, a lot of people don't have that signature road win, which is the mark of a championship caliber team. Texas, of course, will head to College Station next weekend. That'll be a wild and raucous atmosphere there. If you get a ticket, you live in that greater Texas area, it may be worth going. Truthfully. Could be a wild game.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Should be a wild game. It's a game that Texas didn't want to play for a long time. We'll show you to leave our conference that we control. But yeah, we'll take Texas in the points against Kentucky. Wofford at South Carolina. We're not even going to talk about this, but we will talk about South Carolina now 7-3, and I think many of us, including myself, expected them to have a losing season. True story. And you look back at some of these games, I mean, guys, they should have beat Alabama. They should have beat LSU. I mean, the only game this year that South Carolina looked outclassed was against Ole Miss. That's a 27-3 game. I mean, it was kind of a dirty game, too. Ole Miss didn't play exceptionally well offensively, but did a really good job defensively. So you look at South Carolina and you kind of begin to think, too, I don't know that I would want to play them in a bowl game. They'll win this weekend, makes them 8-3, headed to Clemson for the rivalry game. So, you know, Shane Beamer won't get it, but Shane Beamer may be the most deserving of the SEC Coach of the Year honor. You're predicted to have a losing season. You may end up having a 9-game regular season. I think it's safe to say that Shane is safe. Louisiana Tech at Arkansas. Arkansas, again, 5-5. They'll get bowl eligible this Saturday. and then they have to go to Missouri. And as mentioned before, they've never won in Missouri. I'm not sure what shape Missouri is going to be in by the time that they get there. They're a little bit beat up. Arkansas favored by 22 over Louisiana Tech. That's your 3 o'clock game. The Bulldogs of Ruston are 4-6. They will close it out against Arkansas. And then Kennesaw State comes in for senior day there at Ruston. But Kennesaw State is 1-9, so that's certainly going to be a win. So if Louisiana Tech wants to win a bowl game or go to a bowl game, they got to win this week. I don't think it's going to happen. You got to go to Arkansas. It's a very physical Arkansas team. They really weigh on the depth. Arkansas favored by 22 at home. We're going to take the Razorbacks and the points. Alabama's at Oklahoma. I don't know what to make of this Alabama team. We've talked about it before. I don't know if you can trust them, but I don't know if Oklahoma's going to win another game this year. Oklahoma's 5-5. I picked them to be 7-5, and they've been at 5-7. That may be the case. I thought they would beat South Carolina. They didn't. I thought they would beat Missouri. They didn't. I didn't pick them to beat Alabama and LSU. I don't think they will. But this Alabama team is so intriguing. You never know one week to the next. And let's be fair, it's year one with Kalen DeBoer there. Yes, he inherited a really good roster. But they're 8-2 with the road trip to Oklahoma and then the Iron Bowl at home. And you never know what Hugh Freeze is going to cook up in that rivalry game. You don't know. But I think right now, if we just say, you know what, hey, take the emotion out of it. Let's just pick this objectively. We got Alabama going 10-2, which I believe is what we picked in the preseason. It's one of the few things we got right in that respect. But, yeah, I think Alabama rolls this week. Alabama 13.5 points. Oklahoma has not been able to really score as of late. And that Alabama defense is great. Maybe not as elite as we've seen under Nick Saban, but they're really good. So, yeah, we'll take Alabama and the points here. And then A&M is at Auburn. A&M, the road favorite. That's got to be one of those things that just sticks in the craw, right? I mean, like if you, especially if you're a proud program like Auburn. I mean, it's 2.5. You're a 2.5-point dog. And if you have any hope of making a bowl game, you got to win this game and then go into Tuscaloosa next week and win the Iron Bowl. It's possible. It's just not probable, in my estimation. I know some people think that Texas A&M will be looking ahead to Texas, and if you saw Mike Elko's press conference earlier this week, they asked him about that. And he himself had the Freudian slip and said, yeah, our full focus is on Texas. I mean Auburn. It's kind of made the rounds, kind of been a bit of a viral video. But Mike Elko's a good coach. And so, yeah, I think the Aggies go in here and get this thing done. But I won't be surprised at all if we look up at halftime and like Auburn is up like 10 points and they can't close. But that A&M defense, especially that front, is legit. And so they'll look to kind of neutralize Jarquez Hunter a little bit, who now has over 1,000 yards for the year. Happy for him. Wish he was wearing maroon and white. I'm sure, you know, he's probably excited about where he is and what's kind of going on in the future. But they hadn't won as much, I think, as they anticipated. But, I mean, you look at this thing right here, A&M and Texas kind of on a collision course for the SEC championship game. A&M currently not expected to make the playoff, but you're 5-1 right now, and let's say you beat Auburn and then you beat Texas next week. Well, you're certainly in, you know. And that could shake up a lot of things. And I think A&M, I said at the beginning of the year, I wasn't sure what to make of them, and they have proven to be better than I anticipated. And I think Mike Elko is a great coach. But you start working through this thing and you begin to realize this is an important game. And Mike Elko, the challenge for him is to keep these guys focused and not think about next week, not think about the playoffs, not think about the rivalry game, not think about a potential berth in the SEC championship game. You got to go out there and play Auburn. You're going to the plains of Auburn. That's a proud program. And Hugh Freeze and those guys need a marquee win. They need to kind of prove that things are headed in the right direction, because it doesn't look like it, right? I mean, when you look at this thing, Guys, they've lost 5 of the last 7. And so, I mean, how does that look like down the stretch? You know, year two of Hugh Freeze, you end up 4-8. And you know what the Iron Bowl means to both programs. And if Kalen DeBoer can wrap up a 10-win regular season and take a big shot at Auburn down the stretch, you know he will. And he should. So, yeah, so we're going to take A&M. I think A&M gets this thing done. But, again, I won't be surprised if it's competitive. Now, the game that I'm probably most anticipating outside of the Mississippi State game is actually this Vanderbilt game at LSU. You say, Steve, that's kind of a weird pick. Well, number one, it's a night game. We'll be able to watch it. But I don't know about the collective psyche of the LSU Tigers right now. You know, they were in a position here 4 weeks ago where they controlled everything in front of them. Everything. Their path to the SEC championship game, their path to the FBS playoff, and probably would have been, you know, a team that got a bye. And they've dropped 3 games in a row. And to be fair about this, these games haven't been nearly as competitive as people anticipated. The LSU defense is nowhere near as good as it should be. And so you look at this thing that they've lost, you know, they beat Arkansas, and we thought that's a good thing for us. They beat them up, and then, of course, they came in here, and the worst game of the Jeff Levy era so far within conference that Toledo lost still sticks with us. But Arkansas came in here and beat us up. But LSU went up there and manhandled Arkansas, and that was, you know, the 6-game winning streak. Like, you lose the USC game, and then you just kind of steamroll through all this. You beat Ole Miss. You beat Arkansas. It's like everything is in front of us. You lose at A&M. You get destroyed at home by Alabama. And then you go to the Swamp and play Sunbelt Billy, as they call him. And you lose to Sunbelt Billy. Well, now you got Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt has absolutely nothing to lose. All the pressure in this ball game is on LSU. Without any question. Vanderbilt's already bowl eligible. Now, they'd like to not go to the Music City Bowl. I mean, they live in Nashville. It's nothing against Nashville. I love Nashville. But when you're there all the time, you'd like to be able to take a trip and go somewhere out of your state. And you don't want to go to Liberty Bowl either. All due respect to our friends with Liberty Bowl. We got a lot of Mississippi State people affiliated with that game. But if you're at Clark Lee, it's like, hey, we're happy to get back in the postseason, but can we get a trip somewhere? And I think they deserve that. But I think Vanderbilt has the ability to go in here and shake this thing up. When you look at the mental aspect of it, there is no pressure on Vanderbilt. They can go play loose and fast. Everybody expects them to lose this ball game. I'm not going to call the upset here. But I won't be shocked if we look up in the fourth quarter and Vanderbilt is like right there. Because you know those Tiger fans are temperamental. The spread in this game is only 7.5. If we told you at the beginning of the year LSU will be, you know, just over a touchdown favorite against Vanderbilt, you'd say, that's crazy. It's crazy. And guys, like you pull this thing up here about, you know, tickets and things like that. One of the cheapest tickets in the conference this weekend is the Vandy at LSU game. Yeah. What does that tell you? There's a lot of tickets to be had in Baton Rouge because people have lost faith in this team. You know, what does this mean for Brian Kelly moving forward? That's difficult to say. But Vanderbilt and then Oklahoma, you'd say, well, you know what? LSU should be able to out-athlete both of those teams. Both of those teams are home in Tiger Stadium, pardon me. And so you could go 8-4. Guys, 8-4 does not get it done in Baton Rouge, especially when you look up and, you know, some of the teams that you played. You know, Alabama destroyed you. Alabama in the playoff picture. Ole Miss in the playoff picture. Texas A&M could play their way into the playoff picture. And you are just now another team in the league. So it could be an interesting night with Vandy at LSU. Now, I say that. You know, LSU's got the athletes, and if they get motivated and get everybody moving in the right direction, you know, they can come up there and put up 50 points. I do think that Clark Lee will have that defense ready to go. But we're going to take LSU to cover and win, barely, barely. But I think this is going to be a fun game to watch. I really, really do. I think Vanderbilt, I think because of the, when you look at the mental aspect of this game and how fragile the LSU psyche must be, and I'm surprised they hadn't had kids opt out yet, honestly. And maybe they have, and just, you know, it's being disguised as an injury. But it's just so interesting to me as you kind of work through all of this and you begin to think about, you know, the totality of the season, right? And we talk about that at the beginning of the year. You never know what shape these two teams are going to be in by the time they get together. And that's kind of where we are with this thing. Very quickly, let's take a look at the availability reports, the latest updates. You know, we wrote a column for it on Wednesday. We're a couple of days into this thing now. You know, Ole Miss has had the most extensive player availability report all year. Guys, they only got three guys on the list this week. Now, so Ole Miss getting healthier. Only three players, two out, and only one person questionable. And so it looks like LSU should be pretty much at full strength. And, you know, Florida's had a lot of guys that have been injured this year. So not a lot of changes, you know, for those guys. But, you know, the Kentucky thing, Kentucky's got some guys that are beat up. You know, J.J. Weaver, one of the best linebackers in the conference, probable, he'll probably play. I just don't know if it matters against Texas. You know, no real change for Texas. You know, a couple guys that are probable. The Missouri-Mississippi State game, you know, no real change for us. Basically, everybody that is out has been out and will be out. So no new names there. You look on the Missouri side of things, Mookie Cooper is out. There was a discussion last week that maybe he was ready to go. He is their third receiver, and so he's out. Darius Smith, Sam Horn, Khalil Jacobs, Joe Moore, Connor Tolleson, they were all out last week, and Tolleson's out for the year. And so safety Trevez Johnson is probable, and Brady Cook is probable. Those guys are going to play, right? And so basically the same team that you saw from Missouri last week is the one you're going to see this week. So no real change there. But, yeah, I mean, there's not a lot – at this point, there's not a lot of surprises. You know, when you – at this point, there doesn't appear to be, you know, a lot of injury situations that you're unaware of. But, yeah, that's where it sits today. And, you know, when we get to – you know, we've had a couple times this year when we get to the game and then all of a sudden you find out that, you know, this guy's not playing. You know, we had one situation with McKaylen Pounders – made the trip, got sick on the trip, and then, you know, went through warm-ups and couldn't go. You know, we've had some of those situations before. So, you know, we'll watch that. But you should see a very fresh and rested Mississippi State team against a Missouri team that has been a little bit beat up. But, again, it's the same team that you saw last week. If you watched them play last week against South Carolina, you know, what an exciting game that was. It's the same team. Same team. And Brady Cook is still hurt. I mean, he's playing through it, but he is banged up, and everybody kind of sees that. So that's where things stand today. All right, time for today's Top 10 List. As always, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair is our collective friend in the mortgage industry. You need a friend in the mortgage industry. You may not realize it yet, but you do. Blair's phone number, 601-500-2344, 601-500-2344. We've had several Boneyard listeners that have closed loans with Blair, and why wouldn't they, right? Blair's a bulldog through and through, has a place here in Starkville. He rides the wave of emotion just like you do. I like to keep business in the family whenever we can and support each other. I do. I think it's important. Not to mention, you know where that money's going to end up. Eventually, some of that money's going back to Mississippi State, right? Whether it be an NIL deal or be season tickets or merchandise, you're supporting the Bulldog, and I encourage you to do that. Blair has been doing this for nearly 24 years now and is finishing the top 1% in the country in close ratio. That's because he knows how to structure loans to help get them through underwriting. You need somebody with that level of expertise. Get his experience working for you, whether you're buying your first home, your next home, or your retirement home. Maybe you want that game day condo. Maybe more affordable than you think. Reach out to Blair. You'd be glad you did, right? And it's important that you have somebody that, you know, it's not going to sit here and charge you a bunch of fees that you don't have to pay, right? He's not going to go pack a bunch of stuff on there to line his own pocket. He's going to help you get into your home. And what, maybe you're looking to refinance. I don't know your needs, but you know what? Look no further than closewithblair.com. Blair Chandler, our friend. All right, today's top 10 list, I have had a chance to marinate a little bit on the new Linkin Park album. I like the new Linkin Park album. And, you know, there's all these gatekeepers, man. It's like, here's the deal, man. It's like, if you don't like it, you don't have to listen to it. And you don't have to sit here and be jerks to people that do. It's not disrespectful to Chester Bennington that Linkin Park is continuing. It's true. And not to mention, I think the best way to keep Chester's legacy alive is for this music to continue to get played. There's a new generation of fans that have had the opportunity to kind of been introduced to some Linkin Park of their own. I think Emily does a good job. Nobody is ever going to live up to Chester. Ever. Ever. It's never, ever, ever going to happen. And it would be unfair, you know, to constantly compare one of the greatest rock singers of all time against their replacement. And it's not like Chester just left the band in a huff. I mean, it was tragedy involved in all this. So my estimation is the best way to keep Chester alive is to keep these songs being played for future generations. Chester was a very special individual. No doubt about it. But there's been some people out there that have kind of made a big deal about this and been very critical of Mike Shinoda. You know, Mike is as big a part of Linkin Park as Chester was. It wasn't the Chester Bennington experience. It's not to be disrespectful. There's a lot of other talented individuals that helped bring this music to the forefront, to the world of music. But I do like the new album. I do. And it is a little bit different, but there is still that classic Linkin Park sound. And you just got somebody else singing. And so here, there are 10 tracks on the album. I have ranked all 10 of them. Worked out perfect for us. There's the intro, you know, from Zero. And people think, hey, we're just starting over. No, the original name of the band was Zero. So that's the kind of the double entendre there. All right, so here is my list of the top 10. There's only 10. Ranking the 10 songs from Linkin Park's brand new album. All right, number 10 is a track called Cut the Bridge. I don't really get it. It's my least favorite song on the album. It's not a bad song. It just doesn't evoke any emotion in me or anything like that. Number 9 is Casualty. I think the vocal on this is good, but the instrumentation is a little bit, I don't know, forced maybe. And then number 8, it's an acronym. It's IGYEIH. Can you guess what that stands for? Well, Emily lets you know right into the beginning of the song, I gave you everything I had. Now, we all felt that way. This is kind of an angsty song, you know, it kind of going through it all, you know, just kind of venting and cleaning out the emotional closet. It's pretty good. It's not, to me, it's not one of the better songs, but it's not a skip, right? Does that make sense? Number 7, really like this one, Stained. Stained, number 7. You can kind of figure that out as you go. Probably one of the best songs that I probably could have put this one a little bit higher. But it doesn't have the maybe the kick to kind of push it ahead for me. So I'm trying to get the album pulled back up here on my phone. Story of my life sometimes. But I really dig this track. It's called Good Things Go. Now, it is the last track on the album, and there are some pretty cool things with this one. You know, it's so it's basically like, you know, sometimes you lose something or somebody in life, and you may not replace them with a suitable replacement. And I don't think it's got anything to do with Chester and Emily, and some people will read that into it. But the reality of it is like when we lose something or someone in life, what we replace it with is very significant. And sometimes negative things go, or negative things are in the place of where good things go, right? We've all made those mistakes, whether it be relationships or bad habits, something like that. I think it's a very emotional song. and I really dig it. There's a bit of a rap cadence to it, too. So it's one of those Shinoda classics to me. And kind of speaking of the classic Shinoda sound, number five, a great song called Two-Faced. It sounds like something off one of the earlier albums. I don't know if I could really date it, though. You know, but it's like before the hunting party and all that stuff. I really dig it. It's not Hybrid Theory. It's kind of when they were in transition a little bit, maybe on Minutes to Midnight, maybe from that era. That's kind of what it reminds me of. I think it's really, really good. It's one of those songs, too. It's Two-Faced, you know, so it's pretty easy to kind of figure out the content. Number four, this was actually released as a single, the last single in advance of the release of the album. It's called Over Each Other, and it's a relationship thing, right? And as you listen to it, it's a very emotional song. I think it's one of authenticity. I think there's some genuine qualities to all of this. This is something that somebody endured rather than just enjoyed in a writing process. I think Emily's vocal on it is great. Number three, a track that you're probably unfamiliar with, unless you've listened to the album. It was not released as a single. This is the deep track that I like the best, and it's called Overflow. Really, really like this one. There's enough of the Linkin Park classic sound in it where it's easily identifiable, but also, too, I think there is some freedom for Emily to kind of run with this song. I think you'll dig that one. Again, it's one of those ones that, you know, until I put the album on, I did not know, but it stood out to me on the first listen. And so now we're down to the singles that you guys know so well, which is number one, which is number two. I debated on this, and it was not a difficult decision for me, but I could understand how it could be because both of these songs are great. Number two, and I think the vocal on this one may be the shining moment. I think the instrumentation of number one is better, but number two is Heavy as the Crown. This is what you asked for, right? Heavy as the Crown. I think Emily really shines on this track. And I could hear Chester singing it, but it's not a song that was written for Chester, right? I think this is one of those songs, to me, that really validates Emily as the lead singer for Linkin Park. She can pull all the stuff off. I mean, you see all these dates around, they've gone around the world already, and you see these videos online, and she is able to pull it off live, which I think is great. So that means number one has got to be the lead single. And I think it was wisely chosen to be the lead single. It's the Emptiness Machine. And the thing about it is, too, it's mainly a Shinoda track. You know, Emily kind of jumps in on the chorus. But this is one of those songs that I read that has actually, the genesis of this song is about 7 years ago, you know, when they're kind of working through everything. And the Emptiness Machine was a triumphant return for Linkin Park. And, you know, it's like the parts in that song that are just very emotional. And that's one thing I've always loved about Mike, is that Mike is a guy that can take his pain and turn it into product and help other people. And the whole thing about I only wanted to be part of something. And how many people feel that way? All of us. All of us. You don't just want to feel, you know, that you're out here just drifting. You want to feel like that you belong somewhere, that you wanted somewhere, that you're needed somewhere. And so the Emptiness Machine is, I think it's such a great song. I won't disrespect the memory of Chester by saying it's one of the best songs ever. I think it was probably the best song possible, though, to announce the return of Linkin Park. And the video is so dramatic, right? It's like they're on stage and they're playing. Nobody knows who the singer's going to be. They haven't officially unveiled it. And then Emily walks out and the crowd goes nuts. And then they kill it with the Emptiness Machine. I think Mike is amazing. And I think he's done a great job. I love the Fort Minor stuff. I love a lot of the other things that he's done. We've done some top 10 lists with Mike's solo stuff. It's just not as good without Linkin Park. I do like the Fort Minor stuff, but I think Linkin Park, it's the real deal, right? We talk about how music needs headliners. Rock music specifically needs headliners. And I think Linkin Park returning in many respects to take their seat at the round table with Emily. And so, you know, again, if you just think it's done and it's over and hey, I can't listen to Linkin Park without Chester, then fine. That's certainly you're right. I think you're being unfair, though, to yourself and to this new music, and certainly to Mike Shinoda, who has been a part of the soundtrack of our lives, man, for goodness, over 20 years now. I think that's important to understand, too. I mean, you know, Mike Shinoda, this is his baby. And so do you really think Mike Shinoda would just come out and just say, you know what, hey, I want this to be a cash grab? Mike's already made his money. Mike was successful in other ventures. Mike didn't need to put Linkin Park out there to pay the rent. Mike's doing this because he loves doing it. And he's doing it for all of us. And again, I think he's doing it to keep Chester's legacy alive. And how many young people today, I mean, you think about it. I mean, let's look at it. When did Hybrid Theory come out? 2003, maybe? Let's look. I should know this. Early 2000s, for sure. Let's take a look and see how bad I was off in my guess. Yeah, it came out in 2000. Yes, even before that. It's been a while. But, when One Step Closer hit the radio waves, people were like, what is this? There's rap music and rock. What's happening here? But I kind of like it. Oh, these kids will never last. And now here we are, nearly 25 years later, talking about these guys. And it's a great, great, great situation, in my estimation, for these guys to come back. And I think everybody in the world knows the song In the End. That was actually the last single on Hybrid Theory. Paper Cut's one of my favorite ones. That was the third single. But In the End comes out. And I think everybody that has ever breathed a breath has felt the lyrical content for In the End. And so the thing that I ask myself is when I think about all the people that Chester helped, right? When you think about it, as tragic as his life ended, how many young people especially, that were struggling with life found something anthemic in the music of Linkin Park and Chester Bennington? Thousands? Tens of thousands? Hundreds of thousands? Millions? And so by continuing the band, how many young people of today that weren't alive when Hybrid Theory hit the shelves are going to hear Emptiness Machine or Heavy as a Crown and think, hey, this is a really cool, I've heard about Linkin Park before, but I've never been into them. How many of those people will get introduced to LP for the first time and then like, hey, this is super cool, and then go back and hear the message and the majesty of Chester Bennington, right? It's a ladder of awareness type thing. Young people today, I mean, it's all on TikTok, right? And so all of a sudden, they see this incredibly gifted singer belting out something brand new from this band their parents told them about, and they get reintroduced to it. I think it's a beautiful thing, and I completely support Mike Shinoda and Linkin Park and everything they do, and I think this is the only way that it probably would have been able to work. It's a new brand of the band, but it's still true to Linkin Park, and I think Chester Bennington would not support these people that have been very critical of Mike Shinoda. You know, I don't think Chester Bennington would have wanted Linkin Park to end because he passed away. You know, it's a very, very tragic situation, and my thoughts on it are well documented. So we'll move forward, but that's our top 10 list for today. If you have an idea for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. We've got a few in the queue, and we'll get to them eventually, but stuff keeps popping up, you know. And we'll even give you credit if you want it. We appreciate your contributions. A lot of times people submit bands we've already done. When they release a new album, we don't mind going back and remixing it. You know, hey, there may be something new that works into the top 10. We've been doing this now, man, since we started this in COVID, man, back in 2020. And in the spring of 2020, we started the top 10 list. We've even done top 10 cartoon characters and dinosaurs and things like that. And there's so many people that come up and say, Steve, I'm not a music guy, but 10 times more, it's a man, I love a top 10 list. I get introduced to music, and I hope today that a lot of you that maybe grew up with Linkin Park will give this album a try because of what you've heard today. Best way to find us is on social media. I'm on all forms of social media, at Scout Steve R. Roy is a Dogmatic 6'7", D-A-W-G-M-A-T-I-C 6'7", and you can find our list on Roy's Spotify channel as well. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. If you don't know Campus Bookmart, you should. Not exactly sure what you're doing out there. You know, who led you astray? If you're looking for Mississippi State merchandise, look no further than Campus Bookmart. When you come to town, take a few minutes. You're probably going to need more than a few. And swing by the backside of campus. It's easy to get to. You turn off of 182 right there at the Trooper Station. We encourage you to always obey the posted speed limit signs. And as a favor, too, to our friends in law enforcement, when you see a traffic stop on the side of the highway, please, whenever possible, safely get over to the left-hand lane to give them some room to operate. And if it's impossible to get over, please slow down. Please slow down. We don't want to see anybody get injured, right? But all that understood, Campus Bookmart right there by the Trooper Station. And you can go by and just peruse their fine selections in person. There's so many great things there to get, whether you're looking for Christmas gifts. And guess, we're just over a month away from Christmas. And I think it's sneaking up on many of you. I'm just gonna be honest about it. Not enough of you are talking about Christmas. And you need to be planning ahead, or you're going to be scurrying there at the end. You can also get my books there when you order at campusbookmart.net. And we have a promo code for you, too. Get free shipping. Promo code is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. So you can get some hoodies, you can get some knickknacks, you can get a diploma frame for your December graduate, and you can get my books ordered from them as well. Just make it easy for yourself, right? Just get it all because you got the promo code for free shipping. Campus Bookmart, the best place to find Mississippi State merchandise. All right, so we mentioned Mississippi State and SMU tonight. If you are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Most of you don't work tomorrow anyway, but even if you do, you can make this. If you're not making the trip to Starkville and you live in DFW or anywhere within proximity, 7:30 p.m. tonight at Moody Coliseum on the campus of SMU, the undefeated Mississippi State Bulldog men's basketball team is going to be there. We need you to turn out. We need more than just a sliver of maroon fans. I know many of you in that area have been looking forward to this. And it's a big ball game for us. I mean, really a first true road test. And SMU played well, 4-1. They're 4-0 at home. And let's kind of see how they got here. They open up the year with a 96-62 win over Tarleton State. Then they blast FAMU 102-73. Then they get UNC Greensboro, 81-68. That was a competitive game. They lose at Butler, 81-70. And then they blast Prairie View A&M. And so really, UNC Greensboro is one of these teams that just kind of occasionally kind of pops up as a mid-major that you kind of got to be mindful of. But really, the only quality team they've played so far, I think, you know, to be fair about it, would be Butler. I think that's probably the way things look. But you wonder about the quality of this UNCG win, I don't know. They played Indiana like tooth and nail recently. I don't know if you've kept up with that at all. Maybe you're not big fans of, that neck of the woods. But it's so interesting, too, when you get all hemmed up on this thing. Yeah, they're 2-2, they went to Indiana and lost by 11. So maybe that shows up later. Who knows? Maybe they win the SoCon when it's all said and done. But again, SMU hasn't played a lot of competition. And so I don't know they've really been tested outside of the Butler game. So again, we encourage you to get out there and be a part of that. It's Wear Red Night, which may make you uncomfortable if you're a State Ole Miss person. You go to egg bowls and things like that. They switch over to the powder blue, which makes it easier to know. Which I almost said something I shouldn't. I'm not going to do it. Nevertheless, looking at this SMU Mustang team, and they're now a Power Four team, part of the ACC. How cool is that? You remember a time, I grew up in a time when SMU dominated in football, and then next thing you know, the Pony Excess happened. That's my favorite 30 for 30, I think. But, they're averaging 92 points a game. So they're going to get up down the floor and score. And again, some of that is a product of the quality competition. The same thing for points allowed, right at 70. Shooting the basketball pretty well at 48% from the floor. Three-point percentage around 39. You'd like it to be a little bit better, but that's not anything to sneeze at. And they've been a decent free throw shooting team, shooting about 76%. Rebounding has been a bit of a strong suit, but again, it's difficult to get a true barometer when they've played so many teams that are kind of beneath their station. But out-rebounding opponents, just over 9 boards a game, we need to win that battle, say the least. They do dish it out a good bit, over 18 assists a game. They also they turn you over a good bit, too. Forcing 12 turnovers, I guess that's not a huge number, but they're getting 21 points a game off turnovers with their press. 49 steals, they've given up 29. So about 10 steals a game. 25 blocks, it's not a big number, about 5 a game. But let's kind of get inside the roster a little bit here and kind of dig a little bit deeper into what we should expect. Boopy Miller. That's right, Boopy. Boopy Miller leads the way with 18.4 points per game. He is a junior guard by way of Chicago, Illinois. He has transferred a few times, initially at Wake Forest and Central Michigan. Now he's at SMU. So Boopy has kind of made the rounds here. 27 minutes a game. You know, it's interesting. Like you look at their box score here. You look at their stat. There's a lot of guys that play a lot of minutes. You know, so they get deeper into the bench. Now they may not against us. We'll see. But they shared the workload a pretty good bit here. But 18.4 points in 27 minutes in action. That's getting it done. He's second on the team also with 10 steals and dishing out 31 assists. So certainly got to get in Boopy's face, make him give the ball up. Chuck Harris has not started. He's come off the bench for them. A senior who transferred from Butler, a 6'4", 190 senior guard from Ashburn, Virginia, has not started a game, but is pouring in 15.6 points per game. So very talented sixth man here, very productive in that respect too. He's a guy too that kind of handsy on defense. And you know, we talk about Seydou, right? Well, Seydou, from French descent, you got Johan Traore, that is a junior 6'11", 235-pound forward. So he's long and lean. And I think that works well for us, too, because that's kind of what we have. We don't have that bulky Eric Dampier type, and rarely do you ever do. But, he's, again, 6'11", and is the guy that's doing a lot of the redirecting of shots. He has 3 blocks on the year, so he's not getting his hands on a lot of them. The guy that actually leads them in blocks is another guy off the bench, 6'10", 235-pound junior forward. Another guy that's transferred from LSU and Kansas State, a native of Houston, Texas, it's Jarrell Colbert. Yeah, he has 8 blocks on the year. And, only playing about 12 minutes, so getting in some quality minutes on the defensive end there. But, looking up and down here, again, it looks to be a very solid team. And, again, it's difficult to form any true opinions of teams at this early juncture, especially teams that aren't playing these marquee matchups in a non-conference. But I'm impressed with the fact that so many guys are playing double-digit minutes. I mean, you look up and down here. Let me just count them here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 players averaging a dozen minutes or more per game. So this is a team that clearly is building some trust with everybody, and they're going to play a lot of people. And, that could be a real benefit for them down the stretch. I mean, you get some guys some playing time now, and maybe you wear some people out late in ball games. So that's interesting. It is to see that many people playing that many minutes. Because, a lot of times you'd say, they got separation in the game. But, guys, it's not like – I guess Jackson Young is the guy that's only played in 2 games. Most everybody else has played in every game. You got a couple guys in there, they played a little bit of mop-up duty. But even Matt Cross, who's played in four games, has actually started one. So, again, this is a test for Mississippi State. So we need our fans there to kind of help pull us through. And so tip-off tonight. And we've got the soccer game that we'll be keeping up with, too. Tip-off is at 7:30. So hopefully Mississippi State will have the soccer game in hand. And it certainly will be beginning to wind down by the time this game begins. And so maybe you'll be safe to just kind of flip on over there and watch that. But it's available on the ACC network, which means you should be able to get it through the ESPN app. It's also available to listen to on Sirius XM channel 391 and on the Varsity Network app. I have used that extensively when I travel and try to listen to other SEC games as I'm on my way back from covering a state game. The Varsity app has been a great thing for me, and that is an unsolicited endorsement there. But, Bulldogs have a good chance here. But, again, I just don't know what we have at SMU. And to be fair about that, do we know what we have with Mississippi State? We want to think we do. But I'm eager to see how we handle this thing this evening. And, again, they have some length. You know, that's an important aspect of it, too. And this, going into this year, we all said, you know what, we're probably going to be as good as the bigs can be, right? We don't have that big body guy that can kind of eat up space down there. We do have some athletic guys, and Chris Jans knows what he's doing. He doesn't need you and I to conduct a Twitter poll to decide, you know, how we should go out there and attack people. But I think this will be an interesting test for us at the five position, how we play, you know, how much offense will they run, you know, through the five spot? Will they post us up much? You know, you would think with that length, you know, they just kind of want to get out and go a little bit. You would think that's the case. I haven't watched SMU this year. Maybe you have. But I'm eager to see what we do. And, of course, I'll have to kind of keep up with it on Twitter and catch up with you guys a little bit later. After covering a soccer game. But like all of you, I expect to win this game, but it's like I begin to ask myself, you know, it's like, you know, looking at the margins now, like State is favored by like a point and a half. So we're a road favorite in this game, but it's essentially a pick 'em. So, you know, Vegas expects it to be a close game. I think we expect it to be a close game, but I also think it's a game that we all expect to win. And, again, give SMU some credit. But we're going to find out a few things about our team tonight. Again, I hope that you'll tune in. We'll have the live thread over at jeanspage.com on the basketball forum. And, you know, we'll have a little, you know, flash story afterwards, you know, once the ball game goes final. Dave Murray will be kind of keeping you abreast of kind of what's going on. If you can't keep up with the game live, you can check us out over at jeanspage.com, and we'll have full coverage after the game goes final. So, important ball game without any question. And I think the fun thing about it is, too, is when you think you know how things are going to go. I think us being picked 10th in the league, it's probably a little bit disrespectful, you know, considering what Chris Jans has done, not to mention I think it's the best portal class we've ever had. To say, you know what, hey, we're going to be 10th, I think is probably a motivating factor for the Bulldogs. So kind of looking ahead to, you know, since we were together, you know, Wednesday, the ladies take care of Mercer 81-44. We expected a blowout win. We get one. Real quickly, just to kind of – we'll give you the short recap here. But very balanced scoring, Jerkayla Jordan with 15 points, Medina Okot with 15, and that's in 18 minutes of action too. And she's kind of emerging as the best five player. DeBrusha Poe with 13, and of course with the, you know, the separation in this game, we're able to empty the bench. That makes for a happy locker room. Everybody works hard. It's nice to be able to reward them with some playing time. So Lady Bulldogs now 5-0, and Sam Purcell honored after the game for being the fastest to 50 wins in Mississippi State women's basketball history. That's quite an accomplishment when you think about the things that Vic Schaefer has done. Now, ladies are back in action on Sunday at 2:30. I know many of you are wrapped up in NFL football and things like that, and hopefully we'll be covering a soccer game that day. But we're going to be playing against the Jacksonville Dolphins. That's where Scotty DeBrule transferred from, by the way. And so let's take a quick peek at them. And I know it's a road game, and it's always interesting, you know, because you kind of get a chance to kind of figure out logistics and all that kind of stuff, you know, in these first, you know, road games before we took this big trip. But, you know, Jacksonville is 3-2. And you may recall last year that, you know, Miami came in here and beat Mississippi State. Jacksonville went to Coral Gables and lost by 3, 74-71. That's a different team. And then they lost at South Florida, 75-57. You remember that was the first big loss of the Nikki McRae Pinson era, God rest her soul. But nevertheless, this is a team, just kind of looking at the numbers here, they're 3-2, but both of their losses have come on the road against teams that should be better than them. I think that's a fair estimation. And so it'll be interesting to kind of see how we handle this. But we're going to play this game in Orlando. Let's see, you'll be able to watch it. I'm trying to get to this thing again. Yeah, it's going to be on NBC Sports. So should be able to find that. And you can always listen online. This is the WBCA Showcase game. So busy weekend in every aspect. You know, is you got the two soccer games today. We have football and men's basketball tonight, football tomorrow, and then women's basketball and hopefully soccer on Sunday as well. So a lot of rooting interest for you Bulldog fans out there. Final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. It's the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. I'll be there in a few weeks myself. I cannot wait to stay there. I had some friends that stayed there some time ago. They loved it. It met their needs. It was more room than they needed. But they were excited to have some room to kind of stretch out. You can Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and their Facebook page will auto-populate. You can kind of peruse all the amenities available to you and your guests. 5 soon-to-be 6 bedrooms, 2 baths, that full-service kitchen, the wet bar, that back porch area, the fire pit area, and you only got one neighbor. We don't want you throwing a rager out there, but it's just kind of letting you know it's quiet. We want you to respect your neighbor too, but it's a quiet area, a lot of parking. You know, plenty of room to accommodate everybody. You don't have to park behind each other. You know, if somebody needs to run to the store for one reason or another. But yeah, it's a great place to stay. Just 5 minutes from the Mississippi State campus. You know, maybe you got some vacation time that you got to use for the end of the year. Why don't you take a midweek trip? You know, book a couple nights at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Take in a men's basketball game, a women's basketball game, bring the kids, and kind of enjoy Starkville when it's not a game day weekend. Because, you know, things can get a little frenetic around here. I love it here. And I love it when you guys come to town, but you know, sometimes if you're a guest in Starkville, you know, the line to eat at your favorite restaurant may be a little bit longer than you want. You got to, I didn't get to eat at my favorite place or have my favorite dish, and I had my heart set on it, so I had to make an adjustment, you know. So come up maybe on those basketball midweek games. The kids are going to be out of school anyway for the holidays. Just kind of load up and maybe have a cousins get together, right? Have all the sisters and their husbands bring the kids, and everybody's got their own play, and everybody can play and have a good time, and you can just enjoy being together, right? We say it all the time, we need to get together more often, and then we never do, right? We never do. You be the champion for change in your circle of friends or in your family and say, hey, here's what we're going to do. I've been listening to The Boneyard, and Steve Robertson tells me how fabulous the Stark Vegas Clubhouse is. We're going to rent this place out. We'll all split the cost. And let's all get together. We don't get together enough, and this is a great venue, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle in our favorite city, Starkville, Mississippi. You be the person that brings that up and begins the planning process, and then make that happen. You'll be glad you did. You'll make some memories you'll never forget. Now, when you Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, you're going to have some booking options. You can book through Airbnb or VRBO. I don't know how you want to do it. Maybe you've got a credit through them. I don't know. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10. Gets you 10% off your stay. It's saving you a little money by listening to the show. That's what we do. You'll be glad you did. Rather than go out there and rent 5 hotel rooms or have Airbnb scattered all over the county or all over the Golden Triangle, get everybody under one roof. I can tell you, we are so looking forward to having all of our kids and our grandkids together under one roof. And my wife doesn't get to cook a lot these days. You know, she's working a lot, and not to mention it's hard to cook for two. Sometimes it's just easier to get something to go or just heat something up. She's looking forward to being able to take care of her kids. You know what I mean? And, you know, we got some books we got to read to the grandkids, too, that sort of stuff. So we're looking forward to that. Why don't you have a magical, memorable weekend or trip to Starkville with your family? Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, the second and third rounds of the NCAA Women's Soccer Tournament are set to take place here in Starkville, Mississippi. As you guys are aware, the afternoon game will feature three-time NAFL champion Notre Dame against Kentucky. Now, Kentucky is a team that, you know, we had a little bit of a tussle with. They are a team that likes to kind of muddy up the middle. Notre Dame has been pretty prolific scoring-wise, but defensively maybe they haven't been maybe historically what they've been. But I favor Notre Dame in the game just because of their offensive prowess. And that'll be interesting to watch. And Notre Dame, we expect them to bring a pretty solid crowd. So could be a pretty busy Sunday between State and Notre Dame if we both advance. And that's, you know, of course, a big if this time of year. You never know what's going to happen. But the reality of it is Notre Dame, I think, will win that game. There's a reason we play it, though, and I think we'd rather see Kentucky, but you know, Notre Dame finished sixth in the ACC, so maybe not good this year, maybe as they've been historically, but there's a lot of pride in that program, and again, they have some of the most prolific goal scorers in the country, so that's mindful. But listen, nobody is going to get a free pass to the Elite Eight. The more you play, the better teams you're going to play. You're going to face even better teams. Now, we're one of the better teams in the country, too. And looking at Washington, I don't know if you guys have kept up or done any research. I wrote a column last night just to kind of keep people informed of kind of what's going on with our pod, you know, shall we say. But, you know, Washington is an interesting team. You know, they're alive in this tournament. They're 10-6-4, but they have not been very prolific offensively. Like when you look at their numbers here, you know, they did have a 3-0 decision at Maryland. That was pretty significant, right? And then they took care of Purdue in Seattle 2-0, but Michigan 3-1, but they're not a prolific offensive team. When you look at what they've done in recent weeks in the postseason, so it's against Iowa in the Big Ten tournament. It ends in a scoreless draw, and then Washington wins 5-4 on penalty kicks. So no goals scored. In the second round, they play UCLA, who is the only team in the country to allow fewer goals than Mississippi State. They lose that game 2-0. And then last week, they get by Utah State at Logan, Utah, after a scoreless game, and they win 3-1 on penalty kicks. So in the postseason, Washington has not scored a goal. And now they're going to face one of the most prolific defenses in the country. And so you feel like, okay, they're a team that prioritizes defense. And so it could be a low-scoring game. But if State is able to get an early goal in this game, I think you can get some separation. I think if you get two goals, let's say you get the elusive second goal in the first half. If it's 2-0 at the break, I think State will pack it in. Washington has scored just 24 goals this year. They've only allowed 11. Now, some of that is the quality of competition that they've played, but averaging just over a goal a game. And so this could be a low-scoring affair over the course of this evening. And as I mentioned earlier, there are still tickets available for this ball game. 90 saves for the Washington Husky goalkeepers. So we'll probably be kind of a grinded-out game. And when we get early opportunities, we've got to make those things matter. And again, they're 10-6-4 overall, 7-4 in the Big Ten, which is not a great soccer conference. it's been the ACC. It's kind of been the class historically. I don't know if you know, North Carolina's won 21 national championships over the years. Maybe you knew that, maybe you didn't. But, yeah, Big Ten, not quite as good, but you're kind of looking at some of this non-conference stuff too. I mean, they play New Mexico State, Long Beach State, teams that they should be able to defeat, and they did. And so you wonder how much travel is going to matter. I had a chance to watch a little bit of their practice yesterday. They get up and down the field a little bit, but again, this is the team that prioritizes defense. So if it's scoreless at the break, it shouldn't be a surprise. But I think with Mississippi State's ability to score and the pieces that we have, we should be able to get up early and hopefully just kind of salt this thing away. Going to be a much different game playing against Notre Dame, assuming we both advance. But, this is tournament soccer. It's just like everything else. Every game matters. Everything is magnified. We are expecting a record crowd. Of course, Mississippi State, the owners of the largest first-round NCAA tournament crowd of all time. And as of yesterday, they told me we needed to sell like 300 tickets yesterday to kind of keep pace with last week. By the end of the day, I was told we were right there. So, and we do expect there to be some walk-ups, some discussion earlier this week that we may sell out. So if you were worried about that and you're in town, it looks like you should be able to get tickets. But that understood, I would encourage you to buy them in advance so you don't go to the trouble of walking all the way over there. The grandstand is very limited to about 500 seats. Most people sit on the berms. You can bring in your chair and blanket and just kind of spread out a little bit, even though it's going to be a little more congested. And it's a tiered berm, right? There's a slope in it, so there's not really a bad seat out there. Some of our students are already kind of heading home. Thanksgiving week is coming up, so a lot of people are going to go home, spend time with the family, and so maybe some spots for you over on the West End. But we do encourage you to come out and be a part of this. I'm told that Sunday's game is expected to be played at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock. That's something to consider, too, as you make your weekend plans. I don't think that's maybe official, but I think that's what they're expecting to play at 5 on Sunday. And so once our season ends, my coverage ends, right? So if we don't win tonight, I'm not going to cover those games on Sunday, that game on Sunday. But we do expect to win today. And if we do, that puts us in the Sweet 16 for the second consecutive year with a chance to host an Elite Eight game at home. That's fairly significant. And then you get a chance to host the Elite Eight game next week, Thanksgiving weekend. Egg Bowl's on Friday, so let's not get the cart before the horse. Let's go take care of Washington and see what happens on Sunday. So it's the round of 32. We've already eliminated 32 teams. After today's action, there will just be 16 teams available. And then you win on Sunday, there'll just be 8 teams, so Mississippi State assured of a top 10 finish. And likely could be Arkansas. A lot of soccer left to be played. And Arkansas last year was upset in the second round, if memory serves me correct. But, so we're going to go ahead and play these games. Kind of final thoughts on Missouri and Mississippi State. I gave you the homer pick. I think State's going to cover this game, and I think we have a chance to win. I felt that way about A&M, and then we didn't. And I felt that way about Arkansas, and we didn't. And the A&M game, I think we look back in hindsight, and we all feel like, we probably should have won this game. There was no question the Arkansas game was decidedly in their favor. The thing that we have to do is force turnovers and then not give it back. How many times this year have we forced a turnover and you think, man, if we can go down and get a score here, we got a chance to really make a game of it, and then we don't. Right, and so when the defense gets a stop, we should be able to go cash in. This Missouri defense is good. They're not elite. They're a team that teams have been able to run the football against. I think the best comparison is they're kind of Tennessee light. Now, the wide receiver, with Luther Burden out there, it's a much different deal. Without Mookie, it's a little different dynamic too. But they got a couple of big-time wide receivers. They have a quarterback that is banged up. But he's a baller now. He's a guy, too, that gets very, very serious about competition. He's a senior. He's their leader. You look at what happened against Auburn. Auburn has got that game won, it appears, and Brady Cook is on the sidelines. They're saying he may not come back. He does come back and leads them to victory. So people rally around Brady Cook. But as Eli Drinkwitz said earlier this week, the wrist continues to bother him, and some of the throws they had that were short and off target were a product of that, you know, of him being a little bit less than 100%. But he is probable. I fully expect him to play. I mean, just kind of following his career the last few years, I think we've seen he is a guy that is willing to kind of rise to the occasion. So we'll see how things kind of develop with him. I think we can win. I hope we win. And I'm certainly picking us to cover. And I think if it boils down to a field goal, it favors Mississippi State. As I mentioned in our Wednesday preview, Missouri has really struggled at times. I think they're 12 of 19 on field goal attempts this year. But 4-1 in games decided by a touchdown or less. So they're not going to be uncomfortable if this thing goes down to the final possession. But we've got to go win the ball game. They're not going to lose the game. We have got to win the game. And you just wonder from a mental standpoint, how do they feel? They're out of the playoffs. They lost the game last week on the road. They feel like they should have won. And now you got to get on the road and go play a 2-8 Mississippi State team. How do you get up to play that game if you're Missouri? That's the real challenge, I think, for the Tiger coaching staff is, okay, we don't have as much to play for. We're going to go to a bowl game. And I think Drinkwitz has proven to be a better coach than maybe some people thought. But the reality of it is that you got to go on the road and play a team that you probably haven't even thought about playing until this week. Nobody in Missouri circled this game on the schedule and said, hey, that's going to be the defining game on our schedule. Let's go ahead and do some advanced scouting. And so my honest opinion is I think Mississippi State wants to play Missouri a lot more than Missouri wants to play Mississippi State. You know, we're desperate for a win. It's senior day. We want to send the seniors out with a victory. And Missouri's coming to play a football game. And they're still playing for positioning in the postseason pecking order. That's an important aspect of this thing, too. And you got they appear to have good culture up there. You know, that they want to win, and they have played really well under Drinkwitz, and they're going to be in a bowl game again. And so Missouri has kind of proven in many respects to kind of be comparable to Mississippi State over the years. I mean, they had the big year last year, won 11 games, and they were a lot of fun to watch last year. And so because they returned so much and it's such a veteran team, I think people expected them to do even more. But injuries have played a factor. They can't run the football as well as Tennessee. Of course, you got a new starting center in there. That's always an aspect of it. Drake Heismeyer. You know, and so he, very capable guy, but he was second team for a reason. So that causes, you know, you got to call the checks and things like that. There's some things that happen anytime you have to shuffle there at center. And so, you know, we are who we are, right? And we know who we are. And I think the main thing we have to do is stop the run. You know, put the game in Brady Cook's hands and then make him beat us. And he's capable of doing so. But I think if you just sit back there and let them run the football, and if it becomes a play-action game, you know, that could be a bit of a problem. But we got to force some turnovers. We've struggled to get to the quarterback. They have struggled at times to protect the quarterback, so something's got to give there. My hope is we kind of dial up some exotic pressures and maybe some things they haven't seen in the open date. But we encourage you to come out and be a part of this. The season has not gone how any of us expected it to go. We knew it was going to be a real challenge. We thought maybe we could get to 6, but we knew that was going to be a bit of a struggle. Now the best we can hope for is to get to 4. And, of course, you know what's happening next week and against a very good Ole Miss team. And so anybody expecting a victory is probably going to be set up for disappointment. But we'll deal with next week when we get there. But this Missouri team, again, I think there is some – there's some flaws within the team. Do we have the ability to go out there and exploit those deficiencies? That kind of remains to be seen. Kickoff set for 3:15. You can watch it on the SEC Network if you're not in town. And you can listen to the regular Bulldog affiliates and the Varsity app in your car as you travel. If you live out of state, maybe it's difficult to you know, to find those tune-in stuff, but the Varsity app is a great thing. And again, they're not paying me to say this. I'm just sharing this with you because we're friends and family. And a reminder, too, you get to buy one, get one free floats at True Rest of Starkville. This is our holiday special. And so it's a special gift. There's some people around you that are stressed. There's some people around you that have some chronic pain. Maybe it's you. Or maybe you just need a break. You'd like to experience something different. We can help you with that. Dial 662-268-7601. Of course, what is it, 11 official visitors this weekend? Maybe a dozen, you know. And there's some things we're going to be keeping up with. Laquavian Jackson, Mississippi State commitment, is visiting Louisville. That's something that we're a little bit, you know, concerned about. You know, we'll see what happens. We have had a recent decommitment, I do expect, and that was not a surprise. And I think they're going to see an adjustment or two in the weeks ahead. So be prepared for that. This is kind of how life works. You know, we're less than 2 weeks away from signing day. So it should be a big weekend on the recruiting trail for Mississippi State. You can keep up with all of our updates over jeanspage.com, the Mississippi State affiliate for 247 Sports. Let's get out of here. I got to get cleaned up and then head to the soccer pitch. And we will see you all on the other side. I hope you have a great weekend. Wherever you are today, if you're in Starkville, we love the fact that you're here. And I know many of you that aren't here would love to be here. But no matter where you are, I trust and hope and pray that the things that I want for myself, that God will give you as well. And I want you guys to have life and life more abundantly. And get out and enjoy some time with the friends and family. And we look forward to having you back home in Starkville as often as you can get here. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.